Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Do you ever find yourself looking at your wife, looking at your marriage situation, and just wondering to yourself, like, what the fuck can I do about this situation? Like, you're just caught with a feeling of hopelessness that anything you're going to do will make any difference at all. There's like the overwhelm of in a moment with your queen. Maybe it's in an argument. It's like there's an energetic throwing your hands up, rolling your eyes to heaven. Is like, this is useless. This is useless. Nothing works with her. Or maybe it's a macro level where in your marriage now, it feels there's a helplessness. You just, the all pervasive nature of the problem is too much. It's like you're 10 years in, 20 years, 30 years in, could be five, whatever amount of, but it's like the whole entire momentum of the problem has got to such a point where it's like you just can't see a way forward. It feels hopeless. And you're stuck in this same shit, different day, habitual reality. A thousand guys in a room, unless you have a very diligent, exact, conscious practice, a thousand hands are going to be going up if there's a show of hands. I get this. I still have moments when, if I'm under-resourced, haven't slept well, whatever, things aren't going good, whatever, like a ton of bullshit excuses, but under-resourced in the moment, heap of circumstances come in together that maybe I haven't managed right, things outside of my control came in, things got hectic, and then boom, I'm hit with the feminine shitstorm because she's not feeling me grounded, fully present, she's not feeling protected by me. I've got temporarily caught in the chaos of a certain moment. I can get caught, my nervous system can get caught into that mode of what the fuck now, like, God. Great leadership and heroic husbands is all about learning great leadership. Great leadership relies upon your capacity to recognize that there's chaos in the situation. More importantly, recognize that your perception of chaos in the situation is actually within yourself. There's no such thing as a chaotic and inherently chaotic situation. Now, to a level, one could back argue and go, oh, but you don't realize. If you're like me for years, you don't realize how bad my marriage is. It's like, you know, I'd be reading David Aida and like hearing about the feminine shitstorm and this and that, and you need to be the mountain, you need to be the masculine presence. Like, you don't realize how bad my marriage is. You don't realize how fucking irrational and batshit crazy my wife gets with me, how she is all the time. You don't realize. I was really stuck in a problem focused reality, in a victim mindset, and what I didn't realize at the time was it was entirely my nervous system, my mind was blowing the situation up to crazy terms. I was creating a loop of my own reality, recreating hopelessness. And from there, my mind wasn't making anything available to me to improve my situation. This episode here is to bring your awareness and focus it on one question you can ask yourself, that when you ask it with unwavering focus again and again and again and you act on it, it can and will, it will, I say it can and it will transform your entire marriage if and only if you practice it with unwavering focus again and again and again. Be relentless in the practice of it. The simplicity of it is, it's one question. Whenever in your marriage, in your married life, you feel that you're up shit creek without a paddle. Again, it could be one conversation that has just went to like hellish levels. You're an hour in, you're like, oh my God. And you could be at that point where it's like, tap, enough, that's it. Like, there's nothing left of any worth in this marriage. Or it could just be one of those gnarly conversations where, hey, you're not tapping on your marriage, but it's just like, it's a shit show, it's horrible. Ask yourself this one question. What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? It's so simple a question. Let's repeat it. I want to get this. You get this tattooed into your nervous system. Repeat it again and again. What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? If you're really just a victim, switch off now. If you know, and you'll notice victimhood coming through your own mindset, your own nervous system, if there's a part of you resistant to the idea that it could be that simple. Part of you, like me, like my mind that was so resistant to the simplicity of ideas that I broke myself against the ideas again and again and again, that I was reading David Aida, John Wineland, all these different teachers, spiritual teachers, oh, it's all me, extreme ownership. I was like, fucking bullshit, you know, it's like, it's okay for that, like, it's okay for Jocko Willink. He's in a battlefield, he's dealing with soldiers, he's not dealing with a wife. Like, I'd love to know, you know, if Jocko Willink, like, bring out the extreme ownership in marriage book, you know, fucking. Like, I had such a resistant boy bitch mind that was resistant to simple ideas, simply because I didn't feel I was capable of doing it. Yet the thing about this is, it brings you into the now. I'm reminded in writing this episode, I was reading about Michael Phelps, I think he's still, he definitely was at one stage, the most celebrated, victorious Olympian of history, of all time. I think, was it 8 golds in one Olympics, etc., etc. An amazing athlete, an amazing human being, and definitely, you know, heroic. We talk about heroic husbands, heroic within the athletics sphere. It's inarguable the status that he holds. His coach was relentlessly putting it to him that, you know, it's like a core part of his training philosophy, of his competitive approach, was he was like, there was an acronym of WIN. W-I-N. What's important now? What's important now? And it's the secret sauce behind this one question. The human mind is really powerful, but we tend to be deeply ineffective because when we look at a situation, we see the entirety of it. So you talk about marriage. It's like your awareness is computing the totality of your marital situation. It's like we're 20 years in, there's been nothing but arguments, we haven't slept with each other in 3 months, the kids, there's just overwhelm everywhere, like, it's impossible, my best is never good enough. God, we've 3 kids now, I mean, the mortgage, the payments, in-laws, my parents are sick, they're going to the home, decisions everywhere. It's overwhelming. It's like our minds are computing the entirety of the situation all the time, and we get stuck into a freeze mode. That's literally a trauma-informed technical term. It's like you're in freeze. In the confusion and the overwhelm of our minds trying to compute the totality, the entirety of the situation, we don't have it available to us, the simplicity of relaxing into the intensity of the moment and going, well, what is one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? What is one thing? And place your own wavering focus on this simplicity of, I don't have to solve everything now. It's a fool's errand to even think that way. What is one simple thing I can do differently now that can create connection? It really is that simple. In my own personal marriage shit show, was it 5.5 years ago now, it was this focus that brought me through it. It was a total shit show. I mean, the conversations with my queen, her resentments because I was showing up and practicing unwavering focus with her, holding space. It was literally like, baby, blank canvas, like, just bring it. What, you know, bring me to the depths of your unhappiness, your lack of fulfillment. And guys, it was the necessity of the situation supporting me getting through it, doing whatever was necessary. The situation was that desperate and almost so hopeless that it's like, well, Mark, it's done and gone, so it's like you've nothing to lose. There was a support in that for me. It almost like, you know, it's like I'm proud of the man I was then to do what I did and have the courage, and I have made it through the toughest times in marriage and in my inner world to carve out the man I am now. But the entirety of my confidence now as a husband, as a growing confidence as a lover, as a communicator, as a leader of my family, as a parent, and it's expanding into business, into, you know, my leadership of guys within Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, training the leaders there. The man I am now compared to the man I was 5.5 years ago was foundationally built upon my practice of focusing on what's one thing I can do differently now that can create connection? What's one thing I can do differently that can create connection now with my queen? And then, hey, by extension, with my kids, because there has been a long-term repair still ongoing with my kids because of so many years of showing up emotionally very unsafe. I was very, very unsafe to be around. So I want you locking in on the simplicity, and I don't know how to emphasize it. It's the importance of this. No matter how bad your marriage is now, no matter how bad the argument was last night, and you, like, a part of your mind goes, that's it. You know, we're never coming back from this. What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? Because what's happening in marriage? Marriage problems are an issue of disconnection. That's the problem. There's a focus on the problem of disconnection. When you feel disconnected, marriage is not an enjoyable experience at all. And, you know, if your queen is feeling disconnected, I've spoke this before, it's like, I think it's up to 70 to 90% of the time, it's wives that file for divorce first. There's warning bells in that, guys. Statistically speaking, you can ride out. As men, we've been traumatized so much to disconnect with our emotions that we can sort of cod ourselves, pull the wool over our own eyes, and make ourselves believe, well, it's not that bad. You know, I know we've been arguing, I know the sex life isn't like the best, and I know things haven't been great, but I mean, there's a lot of good. You know, we'll wipe things under the carpet and sort of assume that things are good. And as a result, we don't take the radical, direct, courageous action necessary often enough or at all to support our wives know, okay, there's hope. He's actually acting on this shit. So we get lost in the busyness and we're doing our career. We're like, oh, I'm just going to push it through. You know, just we're just starting business. Once I scale it up, you know, and once I and we'll even tell our wives, and our wives might even in some moments like sort of go, yeah, honey, I get you, because hey, a lot of times, sometimes they'll be fully grounded and they'll get what we're saying. And often they're just, they feel, maybe it's unchecked hopelessness. It's like he's just full of all these long-term promises. If that's a pattern, man, she could be like actively considering divorce. And they'll actively, on average, be considering divorce for 2 years before they finally land the papers in front of you. I didn't get divorce papers landed in front of me, but my queen was, I'd say, not actively, but it was like she had lost hope. She was more just sticking with her marriage because her mom was like an absolute shit show and still is in relationships. And, you know, my queen growing up and her stepsister suffered so much as a result of her mother's total shit show in relationships that my queen was sticking with me, guys, honestly, just out of like she didn't want to become her mom. You know, I actually had maybe the good fortune that, you know, she probably stuck it out with me for as long as she did just because her mother is such an asshole. It was like, I think it's the only point of gratitude I might have with her mother. Her mother is an asshole, but maybe she helped me in my inadequacy by being such an asshole that my wife stayed with me. But by whatever which way, you've got to take action. You must take action. And it must be different action. What is absolutely incomplete, useless, not worth shit. I want to bring out a string of provocative, verging on the, no, fuck it, like, let them be insulting. You're like, there's a time when you want to be that honest with yourself that it's not insulting yourself, like, to put yourself in a hole. But you got to call yourself out. It's useless, incomplete, worthless, nowhere to shit, unheroic, cowardice. It's you pretending to be a big man when in fact you're a 5-year-old sucking your thumb in a corner pretending that life will just sort itself out, marriage will sort itself out, if you're doing the same thing on repeat. You're showing up with the same words, the same actions, and you're expecting your marriage to spontaneously transform itself. If you're doing the same shit different day, that's on you. And it is valid to use all those other descriptors. It was cowardice of me. It's the definition of insanity to repeatedly do the same things and expect a new result to show up. It's one of those, I don't know who is the source of that quote, but I think I've heard Einstein to Byron Katie to different people. Anyway, it's one of these ones that's bandied about. I've read it in multiple different sources. That definition, the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing on repeat and expecting new results. It will not work. This question changes the terrain. It changes the battlefield. What's one thing I could do differently that could create connection now? I've spoken it before in the podcast where, you know, a great pilot in an airplane, a great pilot in a sports car, what they do is if a pilot is in a storm, they put their unwavering focus on the runway. And it's like that's what behaviorally lines up the correct actions to take moment to moment until they're on the runway. If the plane is tossed to the left and the runway is like they're trying to come into the runway and it's tossed to the left of the runway, and if their eyes just focus on the left, like pointing out straight ahead in line with the fuselage, the body of the plane, and they're looking, they're going to go into full-on panic. No, if the body of the plane is tossed left, their eyes remain on the runway. If it's, oh, geez, and the course correct, and now it's lined up with the runway, and then another wind comes in and it tosses it a bit to the right, their eyes remain on the runway. And because their eyes are remaining focused on the runway, their hands, their skills, their body, their mind will just do the right thing to course correct, and they get to the runway. This question keeps your focus on what's available now. What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? When you answer that, I mean, that one thing is not going to save your marriage. But let's say, you know, let's look at typical situations that on repeat it corrode marriages. you know, key points is you're going out the door every day. And if you do it in a rush and in a semi, you might even give your queen a peck in the cheek or sometimes, oh, baby, you know, I'll rush to see you later. Bye. Out the door. In a avoidance of the chaos at home because there's kids going out and you just want to get the fuck out. And it's like, hey, masculine, it's like you want to get the hell out because work is enjoyable. It's more A to B. It's like completely around, it's more focused around our strong masculine attributes of making shit happen and it's enjoyable, etc., etc. It doesn't make you inhuman or wrong to have that preference, but it makes you deeply ineffective as a husband. So what's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now as you're going out the door? Well, stop with your queen. And yeah, you need to get out the door. Stop with her completely. Take 30 to 60 seconds. Be fully with her. Body lined up. Kiss her. Baby, have a beautiful day. I'm really looking forward to seeing you later on. You know, same shit, different day. What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now, but you're coming in the door from work? Well, get your shit. Put your briefcase, put whatever to the side. Go over to your queen. Be fully present with her. It's like, baby, how was your day? And be fully with her. And then, like, the follow-up to that is like, well, what's one thing I could do differently that could create connection now, like, beyond that? Maybe she's just a little bit hesitant, whatever, and it's like, baby, I'd love to have a cup of tea. Let me make a cup of tea. You know, the kids are, they're playing in the back room. You know, drop whatever you're doing. Let's sit with each other for 10 minutes, and you make a cup of tea. And it's, you're doing things differently to create connection. But you repeatedly ask this question, and whatever the answer is, you honor it, you activate, you engage with it. What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? And don't be a five-year-old little boy bitch that's like, you know, bringing in the art that you've done to your mom, and it's like, oh, hey, mom, you know, I've done something. Like, you know, you're entitled to, your mother is meant to be nurturing, you're entitled to her to go, hey, and be fully with you. Very often they didn't. But don't be that five-year-old sucking your thumb traumatized child. Like, we all have trauma. That's okay. I'm not mocking the trauma, but I'm bringing your focus to when you do this, you know, you listen to this podcast and you're like, oh, well, I did what you said, Mark. Like, what's one thing I can do differently now that can create connection now? I did it, man. I did it several times and she didn't meet me there. Don't be a boy bitch and stop because of rejection. The key thing with this is unwavering focus on this as a practice. You bring it up again and again and again and again. You're relentless, you're unwavering, you're unstoppable. And you keep asking yourself, you tattoo it into your mindset that, you know, what's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? That's leadership. This question will help focus the entirety of your nervous system. In the chaos, you know, in the relative chaos of life, you bring order. In the 10 million different things that you have to tick the box off in your day-to-day existence, it can feel like 10 million, but actually it's not so many things. Again, our minds get overwhelmed when we're trying to juggle all of these things. And it's like our brain fuck is, oh, I have so many things to do. You'll hear it. I have so many things to do. Baby, I can't be with you now because I have to, like, the kids and this, and I had to tidy out the thing, and I've got a couple of emails to send, blah, blah, blah. Well, all of those things are one action at a time. So again, there's no inherently chaotic situation in your marriage. The chaos is your awareness in your mind. You allow your awareness run wild in your mind, and I'll go by definitions that I want to bring in more and more and more. I'm definitely bringing them into Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, and since I have, guys have went off the charts with what word are bringing this, is there, your mind is this stationary thing. Think of your mind as like in a hotel. All of these rooms in your mind, and then there's your awareness. Your awareness can move, your mind can't. Got this wording from Dan DePaney, and it's been it's made an amazing difference in my own personal life, in my own marriage and parenting. It's not your mind that's chaotic. It's not your life that's chaotic. No situation is chaotic. What is chaotic is when you allow your awareness be dragged everywhere and anywhere in your mind, or it's dragged into the room of anxiety in your mind, and from there it's like it just, you get more and more anxious, and all the thoughts are anxious, and I can't do this, I won't do this, or your awareness gets dragged into the overwhelmed part. And what happens in the overwhelmed part of your mind? Oh, you're incessantly thinking and talking about all the things you have to do, when all you need to do, and it sounds simple, it takes practice, but this question brings your awareness back into where? The now. Right here, right now. What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? There's no overwhelm. There's no anxiety about the future. There's no, oh God, like incessant thinking in the blame room of your mind. Your awareness goes there, blaming your wife still. Well, she's such a bitch. She said this thing last night. I'm not going to apologize. Blah, 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 blah. No, you bring your awareness back to now. What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? If you've had an argument, a really powerful move, be humble. Admit within yourself, man, I rose my voice. I said horrible things, things that I didn't mean. And you stop justifying. Stop blaming your wife. Oh, but she said that. That's the only reason I said those things, is she was such an asshole. Get the fuck over yourself. Really, get the... Guys, a part of this, a part of really great family leadership and leadership in life and self-mastery is the practice of get the fuck over yourself. I'm not talking about you, the hearted, beautiful, lovable center of you, the truth of who you are, the kingdom of God that's in you, your spirit, your soul. I'm not talking bad about that. I'm talking about the gnarly, what we call in the cultures, your boy bitch part. Get the fuck over that part. Genuinely. Get the fuck over that part that would have you walk over the cliff of divorce thinking I was so right, you know, she was such a bitch, and I will bring my righteous focus into my next marriage, which will inevitably fail. Because why? At some point you need to be humble to go incessantly focus on being right, even though your focus on being right is what's driving the disconnect to grow larger and larger and larger. At some point you've got to get the fuck over yourself. This question is like, it's like a cheat. Do you know in these games where it's like, oh man, geez, it's so hard. I remember I played a couple of computer games growing up, and then my brother would come in. It's like, oh, I've got this cheat. This, and like you put in the cheat code and all of a sudden you have unlimited power. You have unlimited fucking like weapons, and you just... You know, you storm through and it gets enjoyable. Maybe you don't develop your skills, but it's like, it's easier. This question is like a cheat code in gaming. What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? Done with humility, this can help you bypass all the chaotic shitstorm of your own bullshit, blame, shame, BS, bullshit, boy, bitch, problem-focused thinking. It's like, what's one thing I can do differently that can create connection now? It will help you bypass all the righteous bullshit that would say, I'm not going to apologize, she was wrong, and she said these things, she hurt me, and like you're there sucking your thumb like a five-year-old in a corner. This is man-the-fuck-up type focus. What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? Baby, I'm so sorry for how I spoke with you last night. I'm genuinely sorry. I said things that I did not mean. I don't want those to come out my mouth again with you. They're clearly unhelpful. I'm sorry. What's one thing you could do differently? Well, apologizing. The guys in Heroic Husbands and the men's circles, like, there's a thing that comes through, which is like boring leadership, which is like you do the most important things at the right moment. It's like the drama just goes. Like one of the most powerful things to do is to suck up their own boy bitch shit, to put their boy bitch thinking on the shelf, and to say sorry. It's like, baby, you deserve better. I can do much better. you know, I'm sorry. I'm going to focus to not be late in future and make bullshit excuses. I'm going to focus on not doing whatever. And it's really the, it brings it so simply to what I want to say is, this is where your greatest power, not only as a husband is, but as a human being, as a father, as an entrepreneur, as a social reformer, as an athlete, as a whatever the fuck you're doing. It's like, clearly I'm, this question is, what's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? That's one thing I've been working with. I've been reading Relentless Solution Focus, a great book by Jason Selk. And it's like, there's a very similar focusing question in that. What's one thing I can do differently that can make this better now? It's like this question that I've been asking myself for so long. It's like, what's one thing I can do differently to make the situation better? What's one thing I can do differently that can create connection now? It focuses you on the next simple one step that's available to you. And if you do that, the answer will come from within you. And if you do it relentlessly with unwavering focus, and you just bring, like, if in this one episode, I do say this quite often, and I mean it. There's so many of these episodes that if this was the only thing, the only idea that you took from the entirety of all the episodes you listen to in this podcast, this is a direct challenge to you. It's like, wake up. Wake up. It's like, so many of you are listening in, and I love and honor, like, you're ambitious like myself. It's like, when I started transforming my marriage, I started transforming my world, I was listening to tons of stuff. I went at it. So I honor the amount and the quantity that you might listen into, and you might be reading books as well and doing shit. But there's an incredible, insane power in taking one concept and never fucking stopping with that one concept. Clearly, gets more and more powerful when you add more concepts in. But if you brought this one idea, and many times per day you ask yourself, what's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? And you did whatever came up. You would start learning shit that works, stuff that your queen likes. You would start this upward spiral. You would start getting feedback. Maybe not in the beginning, depends where you're starting with on your marriage, where you're at, how bad that conversation was last night, or how much disconnection, like, have you just got to the point that there's been zero connection? Man, that's going to be situation dependent on you, and you've got to ride out the karma. If there's been a shit show for the last 3-4 years and you've been sleeping in different bedrooms for 2 years and you haven't been speaking to it, and your wife is depressed as a result because her husband has just not shown up, you know, you're not going to get one answer to this, and you make her a cup of tea and she's going to go, oh, I love you. It's not going to work like that. You got to write out the karma of your own making. However, there is a power in it. If you're still in marriage, if you're still under the one roof, where there's life, there's hope. Where there's a wife under the same roof, there's hope. Maybe even if there's an argument and you're sleeping in a different house, you know, like, and you just incessantly want to recover your marriage, this one question will bring you there. I'm constantly trying to find language to essentialize. I've done an episode recently on masculine mantras, like Zen-like statements. One that I've been working on, and it's stupidly simple, and not even like a great writer to come up with it, but it's like, I'm trying to pepper it in with guys that I'm working with. You know, great love stories are written one sentence at a time. And it's the heart essence of Zen teachings. It's the heart essence of what I'm speaking about here. You know, what's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? Well, if you think of it in the context, you know, where's the power of this? Think of it in the context of stories. As human beings, we love stories. You mightn't read stories. I'm actually getting into, I've read my second fiction novel. It's like love story, romanticy. It's actually quite cool. badass. There's a ton of masculine feminine dynamics in it. I absolutely love it. Anyway, you mightn't be a great reader, maybe you are, but we love stories anyway. You know, you'll go to the theater. I think film, most guys will like film or TV series. We react to human stories and love stories. You know, the vast majority of successful films and stories have some shape or form of a love story in it. You know, great love stories are written one sentence at a time. There can be dramatic moments, but you'll find that the hero in the story is trying. We'll talk about the male protagonist just in this, relating with you guys. It's like the hero of any story is trying his damnedest best to write a good sentence at a time. He doesn't actually, there can be a lot of drama and the transformation happens at the end. But we're captivated by following the story of the hero because one sentence at a time, or in the film, one scene at a time, it's like he's trying his best to show up and impact a situation to bring about positive change. We get clear at the beginning, like what he's trying to do. You know, it's like he's trying to rescue his abducted daughter from a different country from the terrorists that are holding him ransom, etc. Like Gladiator, he's trying to gain his freedom back and gain revenge of the whorebag that the Irish term whorebag, the whorebag emperor that kills the real emperor and blah blah blah. Like we know what they're trying to do, but it's one sentence at a time, one scene at a time. They're bringing about a solution focus on what they can do next, and it's not what they can do next brings them immediate results. No, we honor the hero because he just keeps unwavering focus on what can I do now, what can I do now, what can I do now, what's important now. Michael Phelps, you know, that brought him to being one of the greatest Olympians ever. What's important now? He's a random human being. You know, heroes that we end up celebrating, and it's almost celebrating to the point at which we think they're different than us. You know, Mahatma Gandhi, like there's Gandhi and Nelson Mandela, they're two guys that just I derive immense inspiration from. My main inspiration comes, I want to like invite you into this. My main inspiration comes from, I've reflected on this and I keep reflecting on it again and again. And in coaching, I support guys. This is one of my greatest supports. And it's like how I'm now doing what I'm doing on the podcast. I'm a random schmuck from the back arse of nowhere in Ireland, like in a parish that's unknowable. Like I'm not in the mid, like we didn't grow up around high society or the movers and shakers in Dublin or Galway or whatever. Like I'm not in the middle of New York, London or that, like nothing cool. It's like it's a forgotten, lonely back arse rural place in Ireland and simple family dysfunctional blah 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 blah. I'm creating this movement and you better believe it. It's like started with 6 guys last year in circles. We're up to about 38 now. There's going to be 1 million+ guys in circles in the next 10 years. That's happening. It's 100,000 circles. It's happening. Leaders coming in. So I'm just random schmuck. My greatest reflection about the likes of Gandhi and Nelson Mandela is they were regular men who were living in a situation that they felt, hey, this is unbearable. I can't tolerate this anymore. I want something better. And they got to work. And they did the same thing. They mightn't use the exact same sentence, but they had the same process. Like, what's one thing I can do now? And then they'd speak from there to take that action. It was one courageous action after another after another. But they were unwavering. And we relate with them, with the version of them of the 30, 40 years later. That's the Gandhi we know that had finally liberated India from the British Empire. We relate with him. And it's like at that point, it's like, wow, what a human being. He just did this process all the way along. What's one thing I can do now? What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? What's one thing I could do differently that could bring about peace in South Africa, Nelson Mandela? What's one thing I could do? There's genius in it, guys. Again, there's these episodes where I actually came in thinking, hey, what, you know, it's one question mark that you're going to talk to the guys about. It could be a 10-minute episode. It could be a 5-minute episode. But I do believe our nervous systems need slowing down and deep reflection from multiple angles to land the importance of one simple question. Again, the simplicity, I'll fuck it out there. It's like a 2-minute episode and you wouldn't get it. I didn't get it. It's like it's slowing down and going, wow, can I be that powerful? You know, can you be that powerful? Yes. But only if you give yourself the chance of proving how infinitely powerful you are. This can and will take you there. I say it can. It definitely can. Will it? I don't fucking know. That's up to you. Now imagine that I'm speaking with you, far side of the table. Imagine a cup of coffee, powerful pair of guys, we're after having a great conversation. Imagine I'm looking in your eye and I'm saying your name, whatever your name is, Ted, Scott, Simon, Dave, whatever. Imagine I'm looking you in the eye now. Like, lean into this part. I know you can just like hide in the background and go, yeah, well, he actually isn't talking to me now. But I'm saying, wake the fuck up. Your self-mastery is about doing whatever is necessary in your nervous system to gain the most from any experience. If you're listening to this now, hey, just default hiding in the background like you're in a collective mass of people, unknown. Hey, like, it's your choice. You don't have to, but I do challenge you to like wake up your nervous system, go, okay, right, like lean in this moment. Imagine I'm looking across to you one-to-one and I'm literally challenging you. And I say your name, I'm looking you in the eye and I'm like, man, you can do this. I believe in you. I challenge you. Implement this one question multiple times in your day, again and again and again and again. And don't do it for one day. Do it forevermore. Tattoo into your nervous system today, man. What's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? Could. It's not that will definitely, because you're independent of the result. Your success is asking the question and implementing the answer that comes to you. But you do it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. It could create connection now. You don't know, you don't care. But you're going to ask the question and you're going to implement what comes true to you. And I challenge you directly, right now, do this, man. Because if you're listening in, your marriage experience is not very happy for you. And you deserve happiness. You deserve fulfillment. And if you're listening in, and if you're feeling the emotional sting that motivated you to listen in, it's a forewarning, not to engender fear unnecessarily, but there's, like, it's a fact that if your emotional system, your sensitivity guided you to root out and look up this podcast, you're at a level where your queen's emotional sensitivity, feminine, it's predominantly way more sensitive. So they feel the pain of disconnect and the suffering that it brings more than we do as guys, more than you do. So if you've rooted out and searched for this podcast, you're at a point where you really need to implement, man. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is fucking today. The best time to transform your marriage is back on your marriage day, and before it needed to be transformed, you just got to work. The second best time is today. It ain't tomorrow. The time to transform your marriage is not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not when you're on holidays. It's not when you're finally like retired and you've time. You don't know how much time you have. The time, the only time, is today. What's important now, Michael Phelps? What's important now for you? How to win. Ask the question, what's one thing I can do differently that could create connection now? Ask it again and again and again. More importantly, act on the wisdom that comes through you. You will find an infinite source of inspiration, of ideas. And the more you practice it, hey, funnily enough, The more you practice anything, the better you get, the more data you'll have. Your queen will actually start smiling. She will soften. She will start enjoying the idea of who the fuck is this beast in front of me that just keeps on a focus of creating connection, on a focus on creating solutions, on a focus on showing up differently, on a focus of on improving himself as a man, as a husband, as a lover, as a parent, as a human being. And this spreads into your whole life. Send me an email in, 3 months' time. Those of you that have woken up to this, send me an email in 3 months' time stating that you have lived out the absolute fact that this one practice will transform everything for you. Not very many of you will have the spiritual balls to do that. Be that guy that takes this to heart, tattoos it into his nervous system, because you deserve that type of marriage of happiness. Your queen deserves it. Your kids deserve it. And the 7 generations after us, legacy is everything to a real man. You want to leave this park of life with a legacy behind you, that the 7 generations after you are better as a result of the life you have lived. That legacy is birthed, and the foundation is built on asking this question and answering the wisdom and acting on it. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this entire movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.